Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The castle rises above the bleak moors, dark and glowering in the dusk as a single rider appears, first as a speck on the horizon, a plume of dust rising above his silhouette, and then slowly thundering closer, emerging to the naked eye as a ragged man on horseback. His lathered steed has the rangy lines of a courier's mount. You order the drawbridge lowered, your men hastily obey, the man and his beast clatter to a halt in the courtyard, and he dismounts, falling to one knee, presenting a scroll. "What news, man?" "My liege," he pants. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper of visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alex Keeley and John Luke Roberts. Let's jump into the top stories this week. Our top story this week is recycling news. This is the news that monkeys are using shoes as sex toys. That's a real thing. This is part of a series of stories that people keep sending us of things that monkeys use as sex toys. And eventually I've just folded because I don't want people to keep sending me these stories. Apparently they use rocks as sex toys. Apparently they use, I assume, other smaller animals that can't get away. I don't know. But there are male and female macaques in a temple in Bali who are pretty rampantly horny. Alex Keeley, this is your first gargle. Can you unpack this story for us?
I was pretty worried why you said Alex Keeley before. I mean, the thing that I really enjoyed with it is there's one sentence where it just said, unlike our own species, masturbation rarely leads to actual ejaculation for other male animals, which is such a like boastful. I found that such a boastful thing. like a really pathetic like other skills thing on humanity's CV that
we come everywhere at anything, so much of the Bible tells us not to.
So yeah, scientists have been watching monkeys masturbate.
Yep.
Like scientists do.
Yeah,
they've been they're well fed monkeys.
And what do you do for a job?
Me?
No, you're a monkey.
I thought you were trying to draw a light like comics way are similar to scientists in watching monkeys.
No, comedians are the masturbating
we are the,
monkeys.
Yes, we're the masturbators ourselves.
Reviewers are the scientists in this instance.
Yes.
Watching the monkeys masturbate.
That's a great name for a memoir. Watching the Monkeys Masturbate by Brian Logan. They use rocks
red
and shoes.
Like a three.
Because they're provided with food, that means that they don't need to find food and they can spend more time on their hobbies. And obviously, like if masturbation isn't a hobby, then what is it?
You're true.
You don't get paid for it. I don't get paid for it.
So I mean, yeah, you'd have to get on OnlyFans.
Yes,
and monkeys can't use tools that well.
The fingerprint lock screen is sort of an issue.
They described it as tool-assisted masturbation. I like the idea of that, just whacking it with a hammer, seeing what happens.
I mean, we know, like, this is the problem. As a tool-using species, we now have a real insight into our own past. We'll say, oh, we used tools first to make fire or to carry... No, we didn't. That is not what we used tools first for. We found a horny-looking bone.
it's sex toys, wheel, suitcase with wheel, sex toys in suitcase with wheel.
Exactly. Sentient sex toy with a suitcase that has wheels. Carries itself around after you, asking to be masturbated with.
We may finally have an answer to the question of if an infinite number of monkeys were given an infinite number of typewriters. What would they do? They'd all just rub them on their genitals.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Inexorable March of Time. The Inexorable March of Time, coming for you today. And for our first trillion time customers, a free existential crisis at any hour of your choosing between 1 and 4:30 a.m. After 4:30 a.m., you just have to get up. That's the rule. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Gym, where big men go to self-medicate against depression since 500 BC. Come, leave your sweat with us today. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Sweat, your body's answer to half a glass of water.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now it's time for our next top story. This is our art news section. John-Luke, you're our art correspondent. Mm-hmm. This is the story that artists are arguing about who first committed this act of art, mm-hmm. of taping a piece of fruit to a wall. Mm-hmm. You're a big rival of many other artists, gatherer of vendettas. Can you unpack this story for
us? So an artist called Maurizio Catalan, I think, or something like that. he has been selling for over $100,000 instructions on how to tape a banana to a wall with duct tape to make a piece of art, which he names Comedian, which I find insulting. But about 20 years ago, someone called Joe Morford did the same thing with a synthetic banana and an orange, where he duct taped the banana to the wall. It's been pointed out legally they are at the same angle as each other, and the tape is roughly in the middle. So I don't think it's a question about who did it first. There's just a question about has any copyright infringement been committed, and because it's an idea, there probably hasn't.
No.
It seems to sort of come down to that's a terrible idea, and you stole it from me.
How dare you successfully monetize my crap idea? That's the key thing with bananas, though. If they are straight duct taped to the wall, that's quite serious. But if it's like that, it's a kind of sideways glance at the news, where it's just sort of like a skew, like a sort of awry
commentary. And then if you write, this is not a banana, but it is a banana.
Maybe, of course.
Then you open a gap in the space-time continuum.
It might be a way of stopping monkeys masturbating all the time, because if they have to work out how to get the duct tape off, they wouldn't be so satisfied with the food they've been given.
I've got a question for you, John-Luke.
Yeah.
You write that Joe Morford is coming for you, because in your poster from 4 years ago, don't you have a banana duct tape to your head?
Oh, I do have a banana duct tape.
So you're screwed, mate.
Oh, no.
He's coming for you. Does your head constitute a wall?
I can say I definitely did not make $100,000 from that show. Oh, no. I don't want to be sued by Joe Morford. Actually, it might be good for publicity,
yeah.
Yeah, not even comedians are stealing. Not even artists are stealing my art. Even fine artists.
I was in a cafe the other day with a friend of mine. There were a bunch of American actors next to us, and my friend leaned over and said, Americans in a cafe, the podcast you can't turn off. So one of them said to the other, who do you have to kill around here to do good publicity? And then they started planning a murder.
Amazing.
Because they're like, I just can't get in, can't get in any newspapers. Like, do we need to do something really awful? And they were sort of joking, but also they were Americans.
Can I raise a banana mystery?
Yes.
On that street performance here in Edinburgh, where we are, in the Edinburgh Fringe, I've seen several different street acts doing the same thing with like a little music box and loop pedals and things, making music and like dropping beats and that kind of thing. I think maybe a bit of beatboxing. Different people dressed as bananas doing it.
Oh, so it's the new, this is the newest thing, maybe. Maybe, I mean, can we tape them to a wall and see who gets off first?
I don't know if it's coincidence or...
And when so I say like gets off, we're talking about the monkey story.
No, it's like when you get a juggler or a fire perform. It's one of those kind of setups where, you know, they just turn up in the street and then, you know, they do the ballot with the other street performers and they get that time at that point of day. But why the banana? What is the association between bananas and dropping beets? Although I suppose you would drop a banana skin...
As I was saying before, we need to tape them all to a wall and see who gets off first.
Gets off first, like the monkeys.
Yeah, like
Do you think you could, would it be that you tape a massive man in a banana peel to the wall and then that you label it like Westminster rather than comedy? And that's like a kind of, it's pretty...
Satirical.
Hard-hitting.
Hard-edged.
Furious-hitting.
I'm going to do that and then you're going to have to sue me to to get the money you deserve.
I mean, why don't we set up some sort of horrible court case for next year so we can all get publicity, where we all name our show the same thing or something?
We could do a sort of I sue you, you sue John Luke sues me, kind of like all mutually reinforcing PR.
What
thing.
Name? I think we should all call it Alice Fraser something.
Alice Fraser versus the people of this room.
Yeah.
Alice Fraser, litigator. That's all the time we have for our art news now, because now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week our guest editors bring in something to review out of 5 stars. John Luke, what have you brought in for us?
I have bought an experience that I had today.
Mm.
It was raining. It was 8 a.m. in the morning. I was sitting in a cafe. Somebody walked past with an umbrella over their head, but I couldn't see that. The hands were free. So the umbrella was just over their head, but they weren't holding on to any stick. And I realised what they zipped it inside the front of their jacket. So the stick of the umbrella was in their clothes and the umbrella was obscuring their head, but keeping them dry. And I was initially horrified by this. It was sort of a terrible biblical horror, a kind of awe that such a thing could happen. This was before I really realised exactly how it had gone on. Then I was delighted when I realised what had happened, a shimmering, shining delight. And then I was heartbroken. I'd never see this person's face, or I'd never be able to put a face to the person who'd been able to create such a wonderful moment for me. I don't know if I cried, because the rain meant to tell, but I certainly, like, I felt a deep sense of loss when they were gone and the experience had disappeared. Even though in the depths of that loss, I could feel hope. And you see, I've always felt the pressure to conform in public. And so I thought I couldn't do this myself. This would be so hard for me to do. But it gave me hope that maybe there was an access point for me in the future to experience something like that. And I could be as brave as them, because, of course, the obscurity, the anonymity of it would give me that thing. So it was a really like transformative, beautiful experience for me. So I give that 3 stars.
Was Meryl Streep there just explaining to you that although that you found that like a bizarre thing, now in 3 or 4 seasons' time you would be wearing that and you don't understand the kind of the normative way in which fashion progresses? That
I wish she had. I wish she had, so that she could have cheapened the experience of art to the experience of fashion for me. But unfortunately, Meryl Streep was not there.
Alex Keeley, what have you brought in for us to review?
I'm reviewing the smell of my venue.
Oh, excellent. Let's contextualise this in the midst of an 11-day bin strike.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
venue is still pungent.
Well, I think it's very important to say that I think you know, it didn't need the kind of nitrous oxide boost of the bin strike. It was already a very strong contender, I think, prior to industrial action. So yeah, a strong contender. I think the aroma of Room Around the Hive has put in a stunning performance, and it's my tip for Appalling Smell of Edinburgh 2022 when the nominations are announced this afternoon. Run, don't walk down the cobbles of Nidri Street to experience the opposite of a sensory deprivation tank. Sure, the floors are sticky, but have you wondered if air itself could have the texture of stickiness? Wonder no more. When watching a show there, you won't be able to avoid the elephant in the room, namely that it smells like an elephant died in that room. And so I give it 5 Febrezes out of a possible 5 Febrezes. I think that's my,
yeah,
my star rating.
Thing is, as soon as you mentioned the smell of your venue, I knew exactly which venue you were talking about. It's that the smell has been there for years and it's never been removed. It's like vomit mixed with vodka, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gross. And I mean, look, do I?
I mean, these flavored vodkas have come one step too far. It's just time travel vodka, the taste of the future. That's all the time we have for our reviews section. Now it's time for evolution news. This is the story of a creature that is all mouth and no anus. Alex Keeley, can you unpack this story? Can you disimpact this story.
So this is what, it's sort of an evolutionary ancestor of us, right?
Apparently they thought it might be.
It's now not.
They've now reclassified it, so we've lost a kind of distant relative.
And that's because of the no bumhole.
No, I think I'm not sure the bumhole thing is salient to it. I don't know, though.
It's a fun animal show title, I think.
Maybe it's because, no, humans couldn't exist without, but no, I don't believe it. None of our ancestors. The one thing we've always had is a bumhole, and I will stand on that. That's my heel to die on.
To be fair, when you're first being made, you are just a hole. You're just a mouth. You're a little donut, which is to say, a tube, and then you just lengthen out and become more complicated. But you're essentially just a tube from...
Oh God, I'm having an existential crisis now. You're
the smallest bucatini pasta that exists.
And yes. Then you stretch out and it sort of all tangles around and sort of loops
you
about.
You go through Fusilli, you go through rigatoni, and then you end up as...
You end up as a sort of complex spaghetti with a few sort of odd bulges in it. Sorry to break that to you.
The horrifying natural process.
Yeah, apparently they were originally called deuterostomes, which is us. That's what became us, these microscopic creatures. But they've decided that the little bag creature, I'm going to call it a bag creature rather than a tube creature, is more part of the spiders / insects category of stuff. I'm a scientist.
But they're like super small, right?
Less than a millimetre.
Yeah. I always think it's so when they're that small, when they're like, yeah, that's a spider. That's the ancestor of spiders rather than humans. I'm like,
how are they keeping these fossils? They're tiny. Surely you'd lose them before you had a chance to check whether it's got an anus or not.
Yeah, also, again, I feel like so many of these scientific discoveries just allow you to back engineer someone whose job it is to check what has an anus and what doesn't. What's your job? I'm an anus analyst.
Yeah, it's like you're someone who is overall, your job is overall anus inspection, but your sub-interest is also science.
I'm an analyst.
I'll leave it to the boffins, but how do they know that it's a mouth, not an anus, and not an anus and not a mouth?
Yeah, maybe this creature's been upside down all along, and Australia is in fact on top of the world. Have we ever thought about that?
Ah, Australia, the anus of the world.
Or, yeah, Tasmania, the little hat on top of the world. I just think this is fascinating news. So they misanalyzed it as possibly our ancestor because it has little dots around its mouth, which they thought were paws that were sort of precursors to gills, but then they realized that they were spines that had dropped off. So instead of vagina mouth, they had penis mouth, if you will.
And that's a spider thing rather than a fish thing. Is that,
yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah, that's a more insecty thing rather than a gill thing. Yeah.
And wait, and so is fish the way that we get? Is it like spiders were never fish? Guys, were spiders never fish?
I'm willing to go with that. I don't know. I'm happy to like.
I don't know anything about it. But this is the great thing about the gargle. I find out this information, very specific information, in small pieces over long periods of time. Because I remember their story some time ago that there's five different evolutionary origins for crabs.
Yes, but they all end up with crabs.
Crabs is a very efficient shape for things to end up as. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you're related. Just because you look like a crab doesn't mean you're related to anything else that looks like a crab.
So it's one of those, like, you know how, like, quite annoying twee hipster beer shops have, like, decision trees outside of their shops where it's like, tired? Have a beer. Not tired, have a beer. It's like that, except instead of have a beer, it ends at crabs.
Yes,
like,
every decision
just ends at crabs.
All roads lead to crab. I can't wait for us to turn into crabs. It's going to be so great.
You can't wait. You want them to make it snappy.
Boo! Now it's time for our heartwarming / possibly slightly creepy story that a 91-year-old man from Virginia has fulfilled his dream of becoming an honorary Eagle Scout. This is a piece of heartwarming news out of America where, you know, they don't like mentioning the things that are not so heartwarming. John Luke,
yeah.
Were you ever an Eagle Scout?
No, I was. I briefly joined the Scouts. I had a lot of fun in Cubs. Went to the Scouts. Then we had to, like, identify, like, walk around collecting leaves. And I thought, I'm done with this. I liked it before when we got to play games. So I snuck out of Scouts very quickly. So I don't have much sympathy or empathy with this Robert King. He was 91.
If he really is a king.
If he really is a Robert. He went to a retirement community called Paul Springs, which doesn't sound like a very, you know, what should we, well, let's call it something Springs. Ooh, like Water Springs or Rainbow Springs. Well, Paul, yeah, Paul Springs. They sat him down and then they say, apparently this is a system they have. They sit down with a person and say, what are your regrets from life?
At 91, you might get halfway through and keel over.
Is and also, Krishi, is if it's a retirement home, is Paul Springs spelled P-A-U-L or P-L-L-A-L-L? Because then one of those is much grimmer than that the other.
Yeah, if it was short for Paul Bearer Springs. Yeah. And they asked him what his regrets were, and he said he had one regret in life. And in the interview, he's crying. He's had one regret in life. I've had about 33 regrets this year. And his one regret is that he never did the work to become an Eagle Scout. And so they made it happen for him to finish off the work he would have had to do to become an Eagle Scout. And they made him a certificate saying bald Eagle Scout because he's not really allowed to be an Eagle Scout because he's 91 and you have to be 18 or under to be an Eagle Scout. But now he's got a plaque on his wall made by the retirement home because he hung up a birdhouse, which is all that was apparently remaining on the list of things he had to do before becoming an Eagle Scout. And I don't want to make fun of him.
I do.
But what a thing to do. And I bet also, I bet like you can tell that it's going to come out that he killed a hitchhiker in his 40s or something, but his one regret... is that he never
reconciled with his son who'd got into scouts and he's quite jealous of that, so he just wants to get into scouts. He doesn't really care about
it. Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's more heartwarming.
Yeah. Is it more heartwarming?
I don't know.
Unless his son said he wouldn't love him unless he was an Eagle Scout. In which case his regret would be having such a shit son. God,
I wish I was never born, or that I was born, but you preceding that had made it to Eagle Scout and I didn't have to live with this shame upon my head.
Alex Keeley, did you ever do scouts or anything like that?
I did do scouts. I mean, I saw it was a predominantly like a marshmallow delivery mechanism, really, rather than anything more substantial. I think all I learned was to eat marshmallows off a campfire, which is not very applicable skill in life.
Did they do any of those weird orienteering challenges where they just drop you in the bush with a compass and a bottle of water?
I think they do
that in Australia all the time. It's not okay.
There should be a much more like urban version of that, right? Given the proportion of the world's population that lives in cities, it's always like, oh, you need to be able to navigate through the bush. It's like, no, in reality, it's like, what if Google crashes for the day, and how do you navigate your city rather than
take away your phone, find your way to the central line.
Yeah, you're right. When there is a proper underground map, is it? Yeah. Okay, fine. But I think there must be an equivalent. I don't know what urban orienteering is. Is that like parkour or what is, you know?
I think urban orienteering is making your way through an awkward conversation with a smelly person on a bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how do I get through this without somebody losing their temper or their mind?
Well, I've got a compass. And...
Here, sir, look at this compass and then you run. That's how you get out of it.
Look, all I'll say about the Eagle Scout guy is that I think it's like when someone who was in a sketch group gets nominated for the Edinburgh Award as a best newcomer. And I think, no, you're the comedy equivalent of 91. Doesn't count.
That's true. That's very true.
Well, the heartwarming thing about the story is that after all this, like, he had a regret that he's not an Eagle Scout. He still isn't an Eagle Scout.
This is the end of the podcast. I'm coming to the end of the podcast. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Flipping through the ads, there's an ad for a blue duck, which is a duck that upsets you. Alex, have you got anything to plug?
The thing I have to plug, I've undermined by my review, but I've got a show in the Spanish Room in Edinburgh, 4:15 The Hive. It's about Silicon Valley, big tech companies. Well, there's lots of good jokes in it, and I think there's a high gag rate, if you like that.
John Luke, what have you got to plug?
Well, I'm doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe for, yeah, I guess, two more days, depending on when this goes out,
yeah,
called A World Just Like Our Own, but at 3:35 at Monkey Barrel. Which is a fun, silly journey through parallel worlds and a slow, shifting pathway through heartbreak. Yes, I think
I've been plugging your show from my stage every day, and what I say is it's the premise is that it's a show made of one-liners, more or less, of a world just like our own, but... your eyeballs or gumballs or whatever. But then it sort of turns into a very beautiful and heartfelt meditation on the human condition.
Great, that's, or you put it, yeah.
Three stars.
That's it, three stars.
Three stars. I am going to be filming my show Kronos in London on the 11th of September at the Museum of Comedy at some point in the afternoon. I think it's 4 p.m. Tickets are available via my website, alicefraser.com. Follow me on Twitter at alliterative, A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E, also on Instagram, or patreon.com/AliceFraser for a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons. I've been having very nice salons, live salons here in Edinburgh, which has been actually
When
nice.
You say live, you mean with people?
With people. I've just said, come and have tea across the road with me. Oh. And I get to find out that the people who've been in my Zoom salons have sides and backs to their heads, which, you know, I could never
what,
have been sure of before. Yeah, I revolve around them very slowly. If you enjoy The Gargle and feel like you've stumbled across a story that would be good on The Gargle, send it to us at Hello Garglers on Twitter. We'd like to say thank you to our roving reporters this week. Radomio, who sent in the sex toy shoe monkey story. Valencian, who sent the banana tape to a wall story. And Robert Silito and Sofa Kingme, who both sent in the all mouth, no anus story. I would like to note for regular listeners that Valencian is the name of one of the characters in a Dancy Lagarde novel. So that's double points from me. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Pat Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.